Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. And I feel like I say this quite a bit, or at least I've been saying it quite a bit lately, but you may know today's guest from the music we were playing in October when we were playing Halloween music. Mike from Vista Blue is with us today. Hi, Mike.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome. Thanks
for joining us. My first question right off the bat is, it says on the little bio for the band that Vista Blue is a rock band from Nashville, Cincinnati, New Orleans.
Yeah. So my brother and I, my brothers, both, we grew up in New Orleans. And we were in a couple bands down there. Our main band down there was called the Robinsons. And my good friend Wyatt was starting a band here in Nashville called Second Saturday. And so my brother Todd moved here to Nashville probably in 2002 to start Second Saturday with him. And then we came after Katrina. And so we all kind of ended up in Nashville, both of my brothers and me and my family and all of our families. And we started a band called The Loblaws, and we're on Mutant Pop Records. And we did that for, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And then Todd moved to Cincinnati. And so I was just basically doing some like Christmas music, like a little music here and there. But when I started Vista Blue, I was sending files to Todd to kind of help me with the drums and the bass. And so that was probably 2015. And so, yeah, so it just started with just me sending files back and forth and Todd and I recording over the internet. So it's like most people knew us from New Orleans, but this project was like Nashville/Cincinnati. So
then it's kind of a coincidence that I think Vista Blue first got on my radar with an EP called Why Does It Take Forever? Was that the first Christmas music you released?
That was 2015. That was the first Christmas music. That year we did all baseball releases until Christmas. So we did three different baseball themed releases. And then for Christmas, Christmas music I always do every year. And so that was just the natural, because then of course people started to think we were a baseball band. And so we were doing interviews and we were like, you know, tell us about this baseball band. And we go, oh, you know, we're not a baseball band. We just have a ton of baseball songs that we wanted to record first and we'll be doing other stuff. So we did the Christmas EP and then moved on to, you know, horror and all kinds of other stuff after that.
Yeah. Now I mentioned the Halloween music and you have quite a few Halloween or Halloween-esque EPs that you've put out, October Days and October Nights. Grim Deeds, Scary Songs to Sing in the Dark, More Scary Songs to Sing in the Dark, Tricks and Treats, and New Nightmares, which I think is the latest. Am I missing any?
Oh, I think that's all of them. I think that's the official like releases, and there are songs mixed in. Like we have a kids EP that we did, and we did a Five Nights at Freddy's song, which kind of is on our Halloween playlist on Spotify. And there's like a Jamie Lee song that's on our 12-inch. Jamie, this is about Halloween, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis. So, I mean, there's various songs thrown in, but those are the releases, I think, that are scary songs.
So it's a lot of scary songs. We played a bunch of them in October. And you have a lot of Christmas EPs as well. The one I mentioned, Why Does It Take Forever? Christmas Sounds, Check It Twice, The Carols That We Sing, Keep It All Year, and Nobody Told Me It Was Christmas. I think that's all of them, am I right?
Yeah, that sounds right for Vista Blue, yep.
Okay. And you say for Vista Blue because you also are a part of Ralphie's Red Riders, which was, that was something recent in the last few years, wasn't it?
We did that last year. Yeah, that was we recorded it all during the pandemic. I ran into a band. I do a radio show here in Nashville. It's like power pop and like pop punk, you know, kind of like the music I play. But and so I'm always just looking for new bands. And I came across a band a couple years ago called The Home Alones. And all their songs are about Home Alone. And it's just a 6-song EP. It's on Bandcamp. And I just reached out to him, just said, I loved it. We do a lot of theme writing and, you know, this is right up my alley. I was going to play it on my radio show and on my Christmas podcast. And I just loved it. And so we were just joking. I actually had a song. I have a song about Home Alone. I made my family disappear and I sent it to them and they liked it. And I was like, you know, cause I think they're like in Atlanta. And I said, you know, like I need to just start like a Christmas story band, and we can be like rivals. And they're like, we'll play shows at Christmas time. We'll drive down to Atlanta or whatever. And they're like, that's hilarious. You should do it. And so I wrote that year, this was probably 2019. I wrote Can't Put My Arms Down. And I did just an acoustic version of it and sent it to my friends, and everybody loved it. So by the end of Christmas break, we were like, we just need to do it. And in the spring, we started writing everything, and we were all set to release the baseball song. They traded Bullfrog for opening day. And there was like this weird thing where Vista Blue always releases baseball songs on opening day. This time we were going to have a new Christmas band that was going to release a baseball song on opening day. That was how we were going to announce our Christmas band. But of course, it was the pandemic. Opening day got shut down. And we put the song on anyway, but we spent like the whole summer working on the album. So the pandemic did give us that time to do that. So, yeah, so that's what we did last year.
It is really interesting. And I know you don't want to get pigeonholed, but when you look at the discography for Vista Blue, I feel like for the most part, it falls into three places. It's Christmas songs, it's Halloween songs, it's baseball songs. And as much as I mentioned the Halloween kind of music and all of the Christmas EPs, you have at least that many EPs of baseball music.
Yeah. I mean, we started with baseball, and that's sort of what, I guess, what we're known for. Not, you know, outside of our little circle here, people, of course, they listen to your show and my show. A lot of people don't love Christmas music like as much as we do, you know, so they might put it on like for a couple weeks at Christmas, but the baseball stuff sort of put us on the map, I think, for a lot of people. There are people who will only listen to everything except the Christmas stuff. Like, there are a lot of people who just sort of ignore our Christmas music. The Halloween stuff, I think, fits in with sort of our pop punk scene. You know, there's a lot of horror and pop punk. Even the Ramones, you know, were doing Pet Sematary and stuff like that. So they do, a lot of them will buy into the horror stuff, but the Christmas stuff is pretty ignored outside of like Christmas fans, you know? So it's kind of, we have our fans kind of are all over the place, and we do a lot of other stuff. I mean, we've got, you know, we did the kids EP. We did the EP that was like sort of pop punk love songs, because so many people were saying they wish I'd do that stuff again, like I used to with the Robinsons and the Loblaws. So we did that for Something to Do Records. And we did the curling split with the Zambonis, a split 7-inch record for the Olympics, the last Winter Olympics, so 4 years ago now. And that was great. I mean, just, I love the Zambonis. They're a band that only writes songs about hockey. And we got them to write their first two non-hockey songs to do a curling split 7-inch with us. So we've got a lot of little releases sprinkled in like that. But the baseball, Halloween, and Christmas are like annual sort of traditions for us.
There's a lot to digest there. I mentioned when you first got on my radar was Why Does It Take Forever? And the song was your cover of Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. It's really, I don't want to say it's indicative of everything that you do, because that's just stupid. But it is in that it's fun. It's a guitar-driven cover of this song. It's not the same. Lots of people have done Gee Whiz, It's Christmas over the last 50, 60 years since it came out. But this is different. This is the kind of song that you'll hear it and you'll start to realize you know all the words, but you're not sure why, because it's different. But that's something that you carry into a lot of the Christmas songs that you cover, because you guys do original stuff too. But the ones that you cover, it's not the same thing. You make it your own. And I don't know if that's a goal or if that's just what happens.
It's just to do it as though I had written it. It's like, I love the, when we cover something, it's because I love this song so much. It's like, why didn't I write this song? You know, one of my favorite stories is Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, just one of my favorite songwriters, heard Nirvana, and he was like in a kitchen at a restaurant working. It's like, just immediately, not only fell in love with the sound that he heard out of the radio, but like was mad at himself that he didn't write it. And so like when I cover something, it's like, why didn't I write this song? You know, and so when I cover it, it's like, here's how I would have arranged it. And usually it's a lot simpler than whatever, because my music, of course, is usually very simple. And I'll layer on harmonies or layer on certain keyboard parts or something. But I'm more like, when it comes to arrangements, I'm more like the Ramones with like Beach Boys sort of background stuff. So I mean, it's like a more simple arrangement, but I put it in as though I had written it in that year. And Gee Whiz, It's Christmas was like just a song I'd loved for so long. And the other thing about that is like moving to Nashville, I just started to embrace I mean, Nashville music is there's a lot there. I'm not into a lot of it, but that's when I really started to embrace like a lot of Memphis stuff. And, you know, I had grown up listening to a lot of Memphis music. I visited Memphis probably every year. I had an aunt that lived there. And so I knew a lot about the city, but just becoming more and more of an adult musician and then moving to Tennessee, you know, I really just started to embrace Memphis and a lot that it had to offer and learn the history of it. And so that was one of the things about that song was like just sort of all the history from Memphis that goes into, you know, that artist and the producers and everything. So I love that song.
You know, listening to you talk about that and the way that you approach the songs that you cover really is apparent to anybody who's listening that you love the particular song, or that, you know, you look at the music that you guys have put out and you obviously you love Christmas music and you love the spooky song and you love baseball. It's not like it's a gimmick. It's that, you know, these are some of the things obviously that you care a lot about. Was there anything in particular that sort of inspired you onto the Christmas music path?
It was just Christmas music I just loved. Like, and so ever since I was a teenager, like I could listen to Bing Crosby's Merry Christmas at any point of the year. And I just really started to fall in love with it as a teenager, Christmas music in general. And so when we started a band, I mean, our first band that was decent was like 1999 or so. And so we had a whole like DIY scene going in New Orleans, and we'd book shows at like just lots of little DIY places. And so we started a little label just to put out like cassettes and CDR releases for our friends in the late 90s. And so one of the things we did was like a compilation where we all tried to write a song or cover a song. And that was when I wrote, you know, my first Christmas song is probably 99. And I loved it. I loved the experience of not only writing a song that I could play live at a concert, but a Christmas song that we could play at like a Christmas show or something. And so we tried to do that compilation every year. That first one was on a cassette. And then we started doing CDRs after that. And we would send them out like to family and friends, kind of like a Christmas card. So, I mean, like we'd have maybe 12 people involved in sort of writing different songs or covering different songs. And we just get a CDR out, maybe to like a few friends at work, maybe like 40 or 50 copies total, you know, total with everybody involved. And to us, it was kind of like a Christmas card, but it was something that we could do. And we'd start around, I don't know, around Thanksgiving, maybe a little earlier for some of us, a little later for some of us. And we do this, and it was fun because we could relate to each other and say, hey, what are you doing? I got to record this vocal. Can somebody help me with this vocal? Can somebody come over and do it? And it really like helped us to like bond every year at Christmas time. And we did that for a few years. And then after Katrina, everybody got scattered. And about 2010, we started again, and we've done it every year since 2010. And now it means even more to me because it's people that I don't see. One of my best friends, Rusty, who I do the Christmas podcast with, we do a band together called Tambourine Girlfriend. We do this, we talk about it kind of all year, but I haven't seen him since 2003, I think, was the last time we played a show together in person. And he's one of my best friends. I haven't seen him in 18 years, but we talk almost every day on the internet. And one of the main things that we talk about throughout the year really is Christmas music and hey, we're going to write this song, or maybe we can do this. And so I think it's not only my love for the music, but the fact that after Katrina, now that I'm so scattered from everyone that I knew for years, it's just a way that we can keep in touch. And now, of course, it's a digital, like a link we'll send out to some friends. And, you know, there's a few friends that look forward to it every year. It might only get to 30 or 40 people. But the bonus is like, it turns out there's some really good songs in there. It's a lot of goofy stuff. We just make up some silly songs, you know, but then like, there'll just be like a really good song. The single we did last year, Nobody Told Me It Was Christmas, was a song that Rusty wrote for that compilation that was just amazing. And so the next year, last year, you know, I recorded it with Vista Blue. I just stole his song and just, you know, put my spin on it. And that's where that came from. That song would not exist if it wasn't for this goofy little compilation that I do with my friends every year. So it's not only my love of the music, but my love of the process of bonding with friends and staying connected with friends through this process. Because for some friends, it's fantasy football, you know, podcasting. But with this group of friends, it's Christmas music.
Now, you and Rusty do the podcast Snow in Southtown. How long has that been going?
This is our third year doing that one.
And for anybody who hasn't caught it yet, is there anything in particular you can say this is what Snow in Southtown is about?
I guess it's so we focus on movies and music mainly, and then we throw in every episode we talk about something weird and something fun. So like weird traditions, fun traditions, or just something we saw at the store or something we saw on TV, whatever. So, but we the main focus on each episode is movies, TV shows, and music. I would say that we're probably, you know, we're both writers and songwriters. I guess maybe one of the differences with us, some people may not like it, is like we're probably kind of sarcastic, and maybe we'll make fun of the things that we like a lot more. And so let's say our last episode was purposely awful movies, and so we really rip into a movie like Love Actually. So if you love Love Actually, you're probably not going to love our episode where we're making fun of it for 30 minutes, you know. So we have a lot of fun. It's just for us, it's something that's fun. Like I said, we're both writers, musicians, teachers. We've got parents, you know, we've got a lot of other stuff going on in life. And the podcast is just where we get together on a Friday night and just have fun. I've never looked at a statistic. I've never looked at download numbers or anything. It's literally just what I do with Rusty to hang out.
And I'm a very casual listener. Christmas, of course, is a very busy time for me with this podcast now and with the Sounds of Christmas station. This is our 15th season. So it's hard to listen to all the Christmas podcasts, but I've caught a couple of yours, and it is like two really good friends who are getting together to talk about some of the things that they love and some of the things they think are ridiculous about Christmas, pop culture kind of stuff, whether it's movies or whether it's snacks or whatever it is. It is fun. But I totally get what you're saying about, you know, ripping into a movie like Love Actually, which does have legions of people who are just, oh, it's the most wonderful movie ever, and it says everything I want to say about love and all that kind of stuff. And you guys are really buddies, and that comes across that you're friends and you're having a good time. And it's not really, it's more like Seinfeld sort of sarcasm right. than it is mean-spirited.
Sure. And it's something that we love anyway. Like we would much rather Love Actually than probably any other rom-com. You know what I mean? So like, we're doing this because we love these kinds of movies, you know? And we realize that like, we probably like a lot of stuff that most people think is ridiculous. Like, I mean, like you take a movie like, I don't know, Christmas Story, like even like, there are a lot of people that probably don't really get that movie. I know it's become tradition to watch it on Christmas Eve and all of that, but if it wasn't a Christmas movie or, you know, I don't know, if it wasn't now a part of society, there's probably a lot of people that would see flaws in that movie too. And so we do realize that we are ridiculous ourselves and the things that we like. And I mean, we like things like ABBA and They Might Be Giants. And like, you know, like, so, and we say all the time that like, look, you can make fun of Tambourine Girlfriend. Like we realize that like, we're just having fun on this podcast. We don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings if we're making, you know, we're making fun of like big budget stuff usually. So I try not to touch like independent stuff for that reason.
And it's kind of Rusty's fault that your next Christmas EP is even a thing. It's coming out this Friday, the John Waters Christmas tribute, because he introduced you to that, right?
Right. So last season, what we did for the picks was like we each brought a movie or an album that we thought the other probably wasn't familiar with to the show. And so one of the things I knew of the John Waters compilation from the Jingle Bell Rocks documentary, but I didn't know how good it was. I didn't know how many good songs were on it. I saw it was more of like a niche kind of thing. I knew of John Waters, of course. I did a horror podcast for years, and we did conventions and stuff. And so obviously when you're around the horror community, he's not horror, but he's within sort of that realm. And so I've seen his movies, and I know a lot about him as a person and as a director and everything. And so, but I had never dug into the album until Rusty brought it to the podcast last year. Like I said, with the pandemic, we did all of our recording over the summer, pretty much. We were done by the fall, and we were recording this podcast in November sometime. And yeah, I fell in love with it. I walk every day at the park. And I mean, probably for 2 weeks straight, I was listening to this album every day at the park. And because just song after song is either funny or great or weird. And so I told him last year, I was like, I wish I could cover Fat Daddy. In fact, I was like, I want to cover a bunch of the songs, and I'll probably do it next year. And so that's what we did. You know, around Halloween, we got together and we did four of the songs from the John Waters EP. I had about seven or eight on my list that I thought I could try, and we cut it down to four. So It's fun.
For those who don't know, I think it was 2003, 2004 that this compilation album came out called A John Waters Christmas. He doesn't sing on it. He selected a dozen eclectic Christmas songs that I guess that he really liked. I think that
I think it was like songs that were like not as known and that he felt like should be known for some reason. Yeah.
I have no idea how this got started, who came to him with the idea of putting together a Christmas album or if it's something he wanted to do, but this came out. And the thing that I remember the most about it was the Tiny Tim song, Tiny Tim's cover of Rudolph. Tiny Tim put out a Christmas album in the mid 90s. And for anybody who knows who the singer slash performer Tiny Tim was, it's exactly what you would expect from Tiny Tim.
It is. And it's Rudolph on here, right?
Yeah.
And even like we just said on the last show, I think, or two shows ago, like Rudolph is kind of a hard song to cover because there's not a lot to do with it. It's a simple little children's song, not many places to go with it. And so other than Gene Autry and of course, the Phil Spector version, like there's just not a lot to do with it. And so you get a lot of bad versions. But even that, like it's just, and I'm not a huge Tiny Tim fan or anything, but it's pretty good. Like it's fine. It fits on this album where it's like, it's you listen to Christmas radio and you get kind of accustomed to what you're going to hear. And this John Waters album is nothing like what you're accustomed to hearing. A song after song, 12 songs in a row.
Yeah. There are a lot of songs on it that I didn't know, had never heard of. There's a Chipmunk song in there, but it's not the Chipmunk song. It's their version of Sleigh Ride.
Right.
There's Motown mixed in. There's, like I said, it's a very eclectic mix. And this came out in the early 2000s. And I don't even think it's in print anymore. And now you've got an EP that's coming out on Friday, your tribute to the John Waters Christmas, and it's free for everybody on Black Friday.
Yeah, we try to do most of our music for free. Unless there's a physical release that goes with it, then we'll charge a few bucks just because out of respect for the labels who are releasing our music. But we put out so much music that like I can't possibly find a label to put out everything I want to do. And so consequently, we end up with probably more than half of our releases are just free on Bandcamp. We just want people to hear it. It's like the podcast. You're just doing it for fun. I would be doing this anyway, you know? And so if people want to hear it, that's great. And it's with Vista Blue, it's worked out better than I ever could have imagined. And with this EP, it goes back to like what you were saying. These four songs are like probably like a soul song, a country song. There's a doo-wop. It's like an a cappella doo-wop song on the album, and then a children's song, basically. They just basically sound like songs I wrote this year in 2021 for Vista Blue. Like you probably wouldn't know. You probably think a song like Fat Daddy is a little weird for me to write, but it sounds just like something I would write. Like my friends would think I probably wrote it. I just took these songs. They're all these different styles that I only know because of John Waters via Rusty. And we just made them sound like Vista Blue tracks.
Yeah. In fact, if you were listening to the Sounds of Christmas today, you heard Sleigh Bells, Reindeer and Snow by Vista Blue. I don't even know if I can find the original that came out in the 50s. But that was one that really caught my attention. I was going to say caught my eye, but that's not what happens with music. But that was one that, and I don't remember it from the John Waters release. I had to go back through all of it. I've got thousands of songs. I had to go back and do that because I don't remember. And I don't remember it mostly because that Tiny Tim song was so,
it stands out. Yeah.
Yeah. It really stands out. And it's like the second or third track on the John Waters release. And it really colored the way I looked at the rest of it. And that was almost 20 years ago. I'm certainly looking at Christmas music differently now and have much more appreciation and much more respect for the artists and the songs than I did when this came out. But when I heard the Tiny Tim song, I just had that feeling, okay, I'm done with this one.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. You should go back. So that song, That's the one that's like the children's song. That's Rita Faye Wilson, I think. I think that's her name. And it sounds like we compare it to Hippopotamus for Christmas. And so it's sort of like somebody said at some point, hey, these two songs are pretty similar and pretty fun. And like a little girl singing it, we're going to make Hippopotamus for Christmas a staple. And this one will just be in obscurity forever. No one will ever hear it until John Waters picked it up. Right. And so if you like something like Hippopotamus for Christmas, I think this is a much better song. And on the podcast, what I said was like, this is a song that if I walked into a coffee shop and there was a guy on an acoustic guitar singing this song, it's a good song. It's kind of playful, like a children's song, but like, I would think this guy has written a really good song. I talked about how I love the idea of threes and doing things in threes. What's this? There's the Archie song, Bicycles, Roller Skates, and You. And then I made a baseball song, My Bat, My Glove, and You, kind of based on that Archie song. And just the cycle of threes and three things to sing about. And I love that idea. It's just a great song that no one's ever heard. And I just made it sound like a quick pop punk song, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And I know that you had said you had several other songs on your list. Is there going to be, or do you think there's going to be a John Waters Christmas tribute to next year?
So I don't know if I'd do it next year. And I did, like, I know that I could do more. I could do something like that. Or it could just be that I revisit and just do like one, add one as like a B-side or something. The one I really wanted to do is I Wish You a Merry Christmas, but it would be hard. I feel like that would be a production in itself. I'd have to really work on a good arrangement to be happy with it. And I'd have to get probably our drummer Reese to help me with the vocals. He's just got a really good voice. So he does certain things really well. And I would want him on that male part and that song. It just would have taken, I feel like I'd need to spend as much time on that as I did on these four total. And then like, you know, one of the best songs on the whole album is Santa Claus is a Black Man. And you know, I just wrestle with the idea of like, is it going to come across as me like really paying tribute to this, or does that get lost in the translation somewhere? So that was one I didn't touch right now. So there's several possibilities. The instrumental is great. There's lots of things I think I could do with the instrumental if given the time. But yeah, I just do so much that like I picked the four that were just easy to just knock out in a weekend. Yeah.
And I want to ask about Bandcamp. And I know that you're not here as a spokesperson for Bandcamp, but one of the best ways people can keep track of Vista Blue is we are vistablue.bandcamp.com. And I know that there are lots of other artists who use it, but I think most people who aren't obsessed with music may not even know what Bandcamp is. You know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you sort of explain what Bandcamp is?
I just feel like a lot of people were using SoundCloud when we found it and still do. I just feel like it's the easiest interface to play a song, to buy the song if it's for sale or if it's an option, which for us, it's an option for most of our releases. And like, we just have great people who support us and pay a dollar for every song. Like we'll put a new song and there's people out there who pay a dollar. There's people that when I put this EP up, they'll pay $5 for it. So, I mean, I love the infrastructure because like if it's on Spotify, which most of our music is, we're not going to see any real money from that. Right. And so if it's on Bandcamp, it's the same thing. Most of it's free. Most of it you can even download, which you can't do from Spotify. But if you have the $5, you can give it to the artist. And I do the same thing. I support artists when I can. And sometimes I can't. I just download it and play it on my show. You know, if I can pay a dollar for the song, I will. Or I'll just ask them to send it to me for my radio show. So it really gives the option. I feel like it's the easiest way to have it available both for listening and for people to support you with money. Yeah, I do think I thought it would catch on more by now. I think it's also a great way now for people to sell merchandise through, and it works the same way. I know we don't have much merchandise, but I mean, all of my friends and friends that run labels and bands, they have all their physical merch on there and vinyl and CDs and hats and shirts, and it works the same way. Of course, Bandcamp takes a cut, but any site that we use, Store Envy, for our vinyl and our cassettes and CDs, and so I'm sure it works kind of the same way. But I like the Store Envy interface. It's better for selling stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's like I try to get it all on Spotify and iTunes, but this is more of, like you said, this is more for people who are obsessed with music, but also like collect music. You can collect the digital files in like your account. And like I said, you can support the artists as much as you choose to.
Yeah. One of the things that I really like about Bandcamp is that it lets you get close to the artist. It's kind of like when social media became a thing 15 years ago, and there was MySpace, and then Facebook and Twitter cropped up. It was pretty easy for you to reach out and send a message to, or a tweet to, or whatever, to somebody in a band or a singer and get noticed. But all of that has kind of exploded now, and good luck trying to get somebody's attention. It's hard. And a lot of the singers and bands that are on there that are big have somebody else doing their social media anyway. But you can go to Bandcamp and really connect with the artist and feel like you're really supporting them. Like you had said, I know that, and I'm not bashing Spotify or Amazon or any of those other things, because those are great ways to find music. But if you want to support the artists, you could play a song on Spotify 5,000 times and maybe the artist will see a nickel. Maybe.
Right.
Whereas, like you said, you could go to their Bandcamp page and you could give the money directly to the artist. I mean, I know Bandcamp takes a cut, but it's not the same. It's more like with Spotify and Amazon and iTunes and on and on and on. It's more like the artist takes a cut, a very small, tiny cut.
It's tiny. The only real way to make money is when they download it, like from iTunes. Because they pay for it. So it's similar to Bandcamp, but that's so rare. Most of the people that buy our digital files buy it through Bandcamp.
I remember when the streaming started to really become something 10 or 15 years ago, as that grew, when it first did, I was really excited about it because this gives me access to so much more music. I can, you know, almost think of any song, any band, and find them and be able to listen to it. And it sounds, what a great idea. But then you don't realize that, wow, the band is really getting screwed on this, though, because instead of my running out and buying the new record or the new CD, I'm listening to the digital file on somebody else's system, and I'm getting to enjoy that music, and the band is working three jobs to, you know, to pay their gas bill to the next gig.
I mean, on the other hand, you know, I personally have never expected to earn a living from any of this, right? As a writer, a musician, whatever. Okay, let's face it, I barely make money as a teacher, you know. But you know, you look back, first of all, the library system, we love the library, right? And so I use our library in Nashville is amazing, the whole system, you know, just interlibrary system. You know, I mean, we check out books, we check out CDs. Sorry, I got a smoke alarm going, somebody's cooking. We check out CDs and books all the time. My family, five of us, we rack up a lot of, you know, loans and stuff. And so with Spotify, I kind of see it the same way. If you look at the life of, say, an Edgar Allan Poe, I mean, he wasn't making tons of money. You know what I mean?
Right.
As an artist, like, I think, yeah, look, people are going to get lucky. People are going to be rock stars. People are like, and you know, as well as I do, that like, sometimes that's not even based on talent. You know, it's like, it's just the right place, right time. It's just like being a movie star or winning the lottery, or like in life, I see it. My philosophy is like, some people are just going to get lucky and they're going to win the lottery, right? Whatever that means, whether it means you're an actor or a musician or whatever. Where I think most of us, I just over the last 25 years, I've met so many musicians with so much talent who are working three jobs or who are teachers like me or who, you know, work at a record store or whatever. And it's like people that you're never going to hear and people that whose music is never going to get out there. And it's just kind of the way it is. And so I don't mind if people are going to listen to my music on Spotify. That's money I don't even think about. We get a little check every month, you know, that's tiny. And, but to me, it means more that means so many people clicked on it. Cause like you said, like if you're going to nickel for every 1,000 plays or whatever, it's like, wow, that's a lot of people that heard this silly music that I made in my house, you know?
So. Yeah. And I didn't mean to come out like I'm bashing Spotify. I have Spotify open.
It goes both ways.
I have Spotify open on my computer right now. And that is one of the ways that I find a lot of the music that we play on the Sounds of Christmas.
Or that you'll buy. I mean, there are people who find us there and then buy the music. Yeah. So yeah, it works both ways.
I was talking to another singer who's going to be on the podcast in December, who is wrestling with this idea about, do I want to keep my stuff just on Bandcamp, or do I want to put it on these other services where I'm not going to see any money? And my response to that was, if you want people to find you, you probably need to be on as many of these as possible.
Yeah. If you're trying to reach ears, that's your goal. You know what I mean? That should be, as to me, growing up as a 5-10-year-old who wanted to write songs, right? Like, I just wanted people to hear it. I remember, you know, when we played our first shows, it was like, people paid money at the door to like watch us. Like, that was all it was about, you know? And so 25 years later to now be like, oh, you know, what am I making? How much money am I making? It's nice. It's awesome when we play a show and people buy a lot of stuff from us, or when, you know, a good check comes in at the end of the month, but it's not why we do it. I mean, not at all. And so that's why people, you know, I do these interviews and people ask, why is most of our stuff free on Bandcamp? And it's like, just remember when you first started writing a song, you just wanted people to hear it. And now you're telling me there are people who want to listen, but you're going to worry about like which nickel you're getting, or like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I just want people to hear it. I love that you're playing our stuff. I'm flattered. I'm honored that it's on your radio show. I tell people with podcasts all the time, if you want any of our music, I will send it to you. You know, I just love the fact that I'm involved with this project that you have going on. So, yeah.
So you've always wanted to write music as long as you can remember?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Was it, it can't have always been Christmas music and baseball music?
No. I was just growing up. My parents were 18 when I was born, and my dad is just a huge music fan. And so he was just going to concert after concert. I mean, if you look at my ticket stubs just until I was five, when my two brothers started to be born, like, they kind of slowed down. But I mean, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Crocus, you know, Heart, Journey, you know, everybody, Foghat, anybody you can think of who was playing music in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I have all these ticket stubs. And so for me, when I was probably five, it was like Rick Springfield, REO Speedwagon. Like, I had, you know, he'd buy his records and then he'd buy me whatever little records from the radio or whatever. And I would just play these records nonstop, and I'd sit there and act like I was playing it and singing it. And then I try to write my own little songs. Yeah, I can remember being like 6 years old and just trying to write songs. So yeah, it's just something I always wanted to do.
Have you ever tried writing songs for other artists?
Not outside of like my friends or whatever. Nothing big. When I moved to Nashville, I had a couple connections and kind of talked to a couple people about it, but it's really hard. Like, that's something that like people work really hard and to do. And then there's also a lot of like, you have to almost be a different person than what I am, I think. And I think I would do a great job at it. I've done some ghostwriting. I did some ghostwriting for like an education company where I wrote like kids songs for this thing that they were doing they were building packages for like classroom teachers, and they would send me notes and I'd write a song about, I don't know, the Constitution or the scientific method or something like that, you know, kind of like Schoolhouse Rocks, but my music. And I would just write a demo and send it to them, and they would go into the studio and record it. So I did that. But like, you know, like I said, like when I first moved to Nashville and kind of tried to use some connections that I had to maybe work with some bigger artists, it's like, I think you need to be a little more cutthroat than I am, and you need to really be business savvy. And I'm just not a good salesman, even for myself, especially for myself probably. And so I don't know. I've just never really pursued it, you know, more than just kind of asking around.
So do you have a list of either Christmas songs, or, you know, I hate to keep going back to the same three, Christmas and Halloween and baseball, but or other stuff that's on your agenda for what's coming next?
Oh, I mean, you mean like coming up like next year?
Yeah, unless you have something more
coming
up.
We've got tons of stuff lined up. You know, so two of the scary songs, To Sing in the Dark and the more scary songs, that's actually, we have a cassette label that's putting those two out. This is the first I'm actually talking about. So anybody that hears this will know now. That's coming out at some point, early 2022. We are doing, and I'll say this for the first time, we are doing a CD release on Out Loud Records. And the theme is The Outsiders. I don't know if you're into that movie at all, but Yeah, we're doing an Outsiders-themed release that we're really excited about. It's mostly written already, and we're going to start recording it in December. And so that's coming up. And then baseball, here's another announcement for you. I had a friend reach out, and he wants to try to do a Sandlot tribute comp where we just get a bunch of bands. And so I don't know how that's going to go, but I think that'll be our baseball kind of thing for 2022. We'll write a Sandlot song and see if anyone else wants to write a Sandlot song. So if anyone's listening and you want to write a song about the movie, The Sandlot, people probably think this is absurd just hearing me talk about this, but this is what we do. Yeah. We're crazy. So yeah, I mean, we've got tons of stuff lined up for next year and it never stops. Yeah.
with the Sandlot comp, I can't imagine how many different versions of a song called You're Killing Me Smalls that you'll get.
Yeah, like I think we're gonna have to make people claim what they want. And honestly, I've only seen the movie once or twice, and I think people just assume that because I love baseball so much. But I think that my brothers were the perfect age for that movie. I think I was probably just a few years too old for it, like rookie of the year or two. Like I think those just missed me. And so but I'm always up for fun songwriting. So my friend just reached out to me about that, and he said, let's do a split. I said, why don't we just see if anybody else wants to get into, because that could be fun. You know, there are a lot of people that love that movie. So.
The John Waters Christmas tribute is out this Friday on your Bandcamp page. wearevistablue.bandcamp.com. Is that the best place for people to keep up with you?
Yeah, we have a Facebook and a Twitter. But, you know, I'm not super active. I try to post at least once a week. But as far as music, I mean, it seems like if you subscribe, so like even if you download it for free, there's a way to hit subscribe and it just tells you when we release music, which is usually up to like 8 times a year. You know, we're pretty prolific and we try to get out at least 6 releases a year. Sometimes it's 8, sometimes 9 or 10. So like next year, we're just going to be super active. So 2020, the goal was to kind of shut it down and just do Ralphie's Red Riders, honestly. We did a fun record. We went to Ardent Studio in Memphis. One of my favorite studios is where Big Star recorded. I'm a huge Big Star fan. Also, Gin Blossoms, The Replacements, REM did a record there. Stevie Wonder, ZZ Top did all their records. There are like so many people, Ardent Studio. So we went, we did a 7-inch there and just great experience. We did that. We did the Tricks and Treats Halloween album like back to back. And just 2019 was so busy. So 2020, we were just going to kind of lay low and do the Ralphie's Red Riders. But with the pandemic, we ended up being able to do like 4 EPs that we weren't expecting to do. So we were trying to slow down a little bit. Stuff got backed up. And now, you know, we're kind of to the point where 2022 is going to be pretty busy. So I'd also like to say we have a Thanksgiving song. I don't know when you're going to release this, but if you miss it, you know, maybe put it on your playlist for next year. It's called 1621. And like most of my songs, it started out as a Facebook joke where I said, hey, you know, my favorite Thanksgiving songs are Massasoit Crashed the Party and They Stole Our Corn and all these like historical references to the first Thanksgiving. And then, of course, a few years later, I just did it. And so it's one song. It's called 1621, but it's in 3 parts. So it's They Stole Our Corn, you know, about when the pilgrims arrived and stole the corn that they found. That was somebody's like food for the next year. Plymouth Rock is like a little instrumental in the middle. And then it ends with Massasoit Crashed the Party, which is where the, you know, Wampanoag showed up to the first Thanksgiving, basically uninvited, with 90 people, and yeah, crashed the party. So as a teacher, sometimes I get a little, you know, educational in my songs.
Very, They Might Be Giants. They do that a lot too.
We love They Might Be Giants.
Yeah. The podcast, Snow in Southtown, you can find that at snowinsouthtown.wordpress.com and probably everywhere else that you listen and download podcasts.
Except right. Spotify. Yeah.
Except Spotify.
We play whole songs. We play real music. So, you know, I really like, I just feel so bad because again, a lot of people really spend a lot of time on our podcast. And so they are really invested in like downloads and algorithms. And like, it's something I've never looked at. And so I'm playing real music. Like I feel bad for these people that are always looking for like copyright free music. And, you know, the way it works is like, Taylor Swift could tell you could play her song, but her label is going to shut you down. Like you can't get permission. I can give you permission because I'm not attached to any major labels and I own even the labels I work with, I own all my music. But I mean, like you can get permission from anybody, but their label is going to shut you down. And so, you know, I want to just be free to play whatever music I want. You know, if I want to play a Bing Crosby song, I'm going to play it. And so we play real music. So Spotify yanked us.
Yeah, that's the big reason that I don't play music on this podcast. And you're right, I could get, I talk to artists all the time, and I could get anybody to tell me that, yeah, sure, you can play that. And I'd put it on here, and still Spotify and plenty of others will yank the podcast.
Yep.
Facebook now lets you put podcasts on there. But if there's music, doesn't matter what you say. I was talking, and
for us, it's our digital distributor. I get emails all the time. It's like, hey, this YouTube video has your music in it. And it's just like an automatic thing. And for us, like, we write songs for movies. We write songs for independent movies. We've got probably 5 songs in horror movies. And so I'll get an email that somebody uploaded this movie and my song's in it. Then I need to go check it out. Like, was this the filmmaker? Because I gave him the song, so I'm going to let him. Or is it like pirated? Because then I don't want, because then they're, it's not about me. They're taking money from my friend that made this movie at that point. So I always have to investigate it. But probably once a month or more, we get emails from our distributor. Something tripped some notice somewhere that our song's up there. And so, yeah. So most people, if this happens to like a bigger artist, it's probably like, shut it down. Like, doesn't even want to go look at it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I put a Beatles song on here, I'd be gone in a second. My just mentioning the Beatles right now has probably somebody checking it out. Yeah. Speaking of YouTube, do you guys have a YouTube channel?
I have one for like the label Radiant Radish. That's where we release all of our stuff. Our self-release stuff is under Radiant Radish. And so there's a Radiant Radish YouTube channel. It has lyric videos that our friend Beth made for all of the Ralphie's Red Rider songs. So that's all there. You know, check out the Bumpus Hounds and, you know, Whoopi, I Got a Zeppelin, and all the Ralphie's Red Rider tracks have lyric videos. That's kind of cool. Oh, you know, we covered, this might be fun for your Christmas fans. We covered the McDonald's commercial, Hard Nosed Mrs. Hatcher. It's not even a Christmas song, but they always played that commercial at Christmas time. And we covered that. We did a fun version of that. And there's a video up there where we put our song over the McDonald's commercial. And that's fun. So there's some Christmas content there on our YouTube channel. But it's called Radiant Radish.
Radiant Radish. Wasn't that, that's connected to Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, isn't it?
Yeah. So he opened a health food store in the 70s. One of his many bad business ventures, probably. But it was just the early to mid 70s, and he was not doing much as far as like music at the time, except laying in bed in his robe, and he would show up to work, and he'd be behind the register, sometimes in his robe, right there in Los Angeles, and in the Radiant Radish. He was on a health food kick, you know, and it was like vitamin supplements and stuff. The Radiant Radish, yeah.
Did you pick the name for the label?
Yeah. I mean, the Beach Boys are everything to me. So it's like Beach Boys, Beatles, Weezer, you know, and then like Ramones, Fountains of Wayne, stuff like that. Yeah. But Beach Boys, that's everything. Yeah.
You mentioned Fountains of Wayne, and I think about I only know of 2 Christmas songs that they did, The Man in the Santa Suit and I Want an Alien for Christmas. Yep. And it seems like both of those would kind of be right up your alley.
I've covered both of those at live shows. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. We are vistablue.bandcamp.com. You can also find the podcast snowinsouthtown.wordpress.com. And you're on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Just search Vista Blue, right?
Be sure to check out Ralphie's Red Riders and Tambourine Girlfriend that Rusty and I do. We've got a few songs on Spotify and Bandcamp, and they're fun. We've got one that we did last year called No One Wants to Hear Your Stupid 2020 Christmas Song, because everybody's writing 2020 Christmas songs, which, so in fact, ours is a 2020 Christmas song by default, but that's the joke. We got a song about using an apostrophe in her last name on your Christmas cards, you know, how to pluralize words. We got one about people whose birthday is around Christmas and how they get ripped off. We got one about static electricity and how we hate static electricity. It's just part of Christmas celebrations. You just get shocked everywhere you go. So we do songs every year. We put those 4 up this year on Spotify.
And that's Tambourine Girl?
Tambourine Girlfriend. Yes.
Tambourine Girlfriend.
It's not a Christmas band, but we've only written Christmas songs for 10 years. So one day we'll have to write something that's not a Christmas song.
So it's been so much fun talking to you, Mike. Thank you so much for giving up some time for us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor just to, you know, talk about Christmas music. It's fun.
That was to be the end of this podcast episode, but Mike has been so kind as to send over a special exclusive acoustic performance of some of the songs we've talked about, maybe some that we haven't, that he has recorded with Vista Blue, with Tambourine Girlfriend, and with Ralphie's Red Riders. So here once again is Mike from Vista Blue.
Hey, Ken. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm going to play a few songs. This is a song I wrote about the movie Home Alone. It's called I Made My Family Disappear. This song I wrote about The Office, the season 2 episode of The Office, The Christmas Party. Here you go.
The party's tonight. It starts at 6. I got a great Secret Santa gift. It's an iPod. I got an iPod. It's been a tough year. I fired this guy. Morale's been low, so that's why I got an iPod. I got an iPod. It's Christmas time, and you can bet you'll know how people feel by how much you get. And I'll give the best gift yet, because I got an iPod. An iPod's great, an oven it's not. I think it's time for a little Yankee swap with my iPod. I got an iPod. Paintball sucks, the teapot is lame. I bought the only good gift in this game. It's an iPod. Yeah, did you know I got an iPod? Things are worse than they were before. I'll take a quick trip to the liquor store. There's nothing that people like more than vodka and an iPod. Snow is falling and Packers here. We'll head to Poor Richard's for a round of beer. I think we'll have a good New Year. I think we'll have a good New Year. Yeah, it's gonna be a good New Year. Because I got an iPod. Yeah, I got an iPod. Did you know I got an iPod?
I just want to wrote for Ralphie's Red Riders. It's about the theme that he wants to write to get his teacher on his side to hopefully convince his parents that he should get a BB gun. It's called I'm Gonna Get an A-plus on My Theme.
I know that I can't live without it. This time I'm gonna write about it. just don't know how to convey it. And I mess it up each time I say it. Now I've got a new scheme. I'm gonna get an A+ on my theme.
This one I wrote that I thought it would be funny to write a song about forgetting to get a gift, you know, for like, your wife or your girlfriend, and you're sitting there on Christmas Eve and you've gotten all these great gifts for all your friends and family, and you look at her and you realize, oh, I forgot something, and that's what this song's about.
It's Christmas Eve and you're by my side. Still my worst nightmare has come true. I got almost every gift that was on my list, but I got nothing for you. I beat all the crowds, got my shopping done. Still did the worst thing I could do. I got my mom and dad a brand new iPad, but I got nothing for you. I hope you understand that I try my best, nothing but effort in large amounts. And though it's unlikely, I hope that you'll agree, it's the thought that really counts. I know I made a list and I checked it twice. There's just one thing I didn't do. I got Chuck and Marlene a giant flat screen, but I got nothing for you. And maybe it's not so bad, maybe you'll just laugh. Tell me you love me and give me a break. But it's more likely all next year I'll be paying for my mistake. Yeah, I know I made a list and I checked it twice. There's just one thing I didn't do. I got Rusty and Brett each a Pet Sounds cassette. I got Chris and Angie a 35 PSI CD. I got Mark, Reese, and Todd each a brand new iPod, but I got nothing for you. I got nothing for you, baby, got nothing for you.
I'm going to do one more song. Thanks so much, Ken, for having me on. I really appreciate being on the show. It was a lot of fun. This is a song about loving the 90s and wanting to go back to the 90s, especially at Christmas time, because all the cool stuff happened, you know, in the 90s at Christmas. And so this is all the stuff we'd do if we could magically go back in time. Thanks again. Here we go.
Christmas has been boring the last few years or so. I wish things could be like they were all those years ago.
This year, let's do something more. Throw our iPhones on the floor. Pretend it's 1994 this Christmas. You could be my Kelly. I could be your Zach. You could be my Sally Stitches. I could be your Jack. We'll listen to Sublime. We'll drink all the surge we find. We'll have a 90s kind of Christmas. We'll watch Halloween 6, Leprechaun 1, 2, and 3. I Know What You Did Last Summer, the whole Scream trilogy. We'll drink Ecto Cooler and watch the O.J. Simpson trial. I'll add you to my buddy list and study your profile. We'll go buy some Reebok pumps and new Doc Martens too. I'll page you with 911 if I need to talk to you. We'll play Tecmo all night long, pretend that we're in Home Alone. We'll sing lots of Weezer songs this Christmas. We could watch The Simpsons, The X-Files, and Twin Peaks. 90210, my so-called life at Dawson's Creek. We'll play NBA Live or go shoot hoops at the park. I'll be Michael Jordan and you can be John Starks. Christmas has been boring the last few years or so, and I wish things could be like they were all those years ago. But this year we could make it great, play Green Day and celebrate like it was 1998 this Christmas. We'll listen to Sublime. We'll drink all the surge we find. We'll have a 90s kind of Christmas and watch the world die. We'll have a 90s kind of Christmas and watch the world die. We'll have a 90s kind of Christmas.
Thanks again, Ken. See you later.
Well, thank you very much. This was fun.
Oh, thank you. It's awesome.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.